Welcome to Curating the Curious, the podcast that celebrates staying curious in life and never settling into a box. Hosted by former elementary teacher, television actress, LA realtor, wine slinger, salesperson, waitress, family photographer, and forever student of life, me, Leanna Ezzolini. Today, I'm really excited to welcome author, photographer, and body image and mindset coach, Terry Hofford. Her new book, The Geode Theory, is available now, and it's on terryhofford.com, and you can find that link also in the show notes. This conversation is for anyone who has ever wondered how to conjure up a little more self-love. It really is possible. We talk about moving from the daunting idea of body positivity to the more palatable notion of body neutrality and body liberation. For those of you looking up my class right now on cultivating creativity through self-portraiture, it's available on Flock Plus, and the link is in the show notes as well. Get ready for a truly enlightening experience. Terry really knows what she's talking about, and I was super inspired and just glued to her every word. So without further ado, here is Terry Hofford. I really think that the work that you do is so powerful and so beautiful, and it's something that I believe every woman on this earth can benefit from. I was actually listening to you speak once recently, and it just felt like a light went on for me, like the Oprah aha moment. You were talking about moving from the idea of body positivity to body neutrality instead, and suddenly, like, the thought of changing my own mindset, it just became more digestible and it felt more possible. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So for a long time, like, the body positivity movement was great. It started about 5 years to really pick up traction on the internet and whatnot. It started out as a way to give a platform to fat folks who never saw themselves represented and so on. But very quickly, like things do, it quickly became co-opted by smaller bodies that now utilize it in their marketing, and different companies saying, like, oh, we're body positive, yet only have clothes up to a certain size. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it kind of got away from the original roots, which is when body liberation, fat folks and fat activists were like, okay, there's got to be more to this, because even with body positivity, you're still very much body focused. It's like, my body is beautiful, my body is this. And the whole idea behind body liberation is like, no, that's not, like, you don't have to be positive, like, what do they call it, toxic positive. You don't have to be so toxic about it in that way, where you never have a bad thought about your body, because now not only do you have the bad thought about your body, but now you feel bad about having the bad thought about your body.
Yes, totally.
So I call it the double whammy of shame that you experience, and it's just, and then you just do nothing and you don't progress in your you know, learned behavior towards yourself. The idea of body liberation, however, basically just removes your body from the whole thing and says, you know what, some days you're going to like your body, some days you're not going to like your body, but don't let those feelings stop you from doing the things that you want to do. So for example, if I look in the mirror and I'm like, oh, I don't really like my tum, but I really wanted to wear a crop top, body liberation would dictate that. It's like, well, you don't have to love your tum today, but you know what, but you really want to wear that crop top, so I would wear the crop top, you know, and just, like, maybe avoid mirrors or things like that that would turn me towards body negativity. So it's like doing the thing regardless of the feelings towards the body, because then very quickly your brain will change to say, basically, you stop thinking, my body, because of my body, I can't do these things. And you start to realize that, well, my body's just part of it, but I can do these things regardless of my feelings about my body.
I love it, because it takes the pressure off.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
That's what really hit me about it. It was like, well, oh, okay. So I can be working on this and not be perfect about it, which is, it's a relief.
And I think, like, especially in terms of, like, doing boudoir photography, which obviously is what I specialize in, and a lot of people probably who will listen to this, is that like with clients, we get a lot all the time. We have people say, oh, like make me look smaller because of this body part, hide it or whatever. I think our job is like through body liberation or through a lens of body liberation, we can help them recognize that, look, you did this really cool thing, this really scary experience that like left you feeling amazing. And you did it with that body part that you were afraid of before. Right. And kind of helping them through that. Whereas with body positivity, it's just kind of glossing over and making people feel kind of bad that they feel bad about their body sometimes.
Yeah. It's almost like you, with body positivity, you feel like you have to pretend to yourself.
Yes. And others. Yeah.
One question that I have listening to you talk about this, and I feel like this is just the perfect time for me to ask this because I have been wondering this.
Yeah.
I noticed that a lot when I'm following any teachings on this stuff, that the word fat is used now a lot. And I'm just kind of wondering where that came from and how it's used as like the actual term now instead of not a negative term.
Well, I think it's in the same way that certain words are reclaimed by the folks that identify as them. There are still probably an overwhelming number of people that use the word fat as an insult towards themselves or to other people. But I think for those of us that do exist in actual fat bodies and that experience oppression at the hands of existing in a fatter body, it's one way for us to take control of the narrative that is being told about us and instead saying like, yeah, I'm fat. I'm also tall and I have brown hair. Like it's just a descriptor. Just because we were taught to have a feeling about the word doesn't mean that I have to continue believing that feeling because it's no longer serving me. And yeah, and I have a really like when I was younger, I used to babysit this kid who when he wanted to insult you, he'd call you a garlic. And like, yes, like a garlic, like is it a vegetable? I don't even know what it is. But anyways,
I don't know.
But yeah, but you knew he meant it in a mean way, but you would just laugh because you're like, what a silly insult. And that's kind of how I think now, like when people say you're fat, I'm like, and like, so good for you and having eyeballs, like, yay. But it's like we attribute like whatever we decide to attribute feeling to these very neutral words, that's on us. You know what I mean? How we decide to receive it. I think and that gives you a lot more control back. Same thing with just like even sexism in general, or, you know, the first thing to insult a woman on is her weight, because that is like a pain point for all women. And then the next thing is her sexuality, like using the C word or the B word, you know.
Yep.
Like usually those go hand in hand. So first is the insult about the body size, usually fat being the first word.
Mm-hmm.
And then the C word or the B word being the second word. And women do this and men do this as the very first insults towards women. So it's like those used to be pain points, but maybe we can reclaim those so that it holds less power over us. And there's something really cool in that, I think.
Me too.
Like, no, words can't hurt me unless I choose to let them.
Okay, I'm glad I asked that.
Yeah. I think it is very like, that is a word that's very like when I say it now, like, or even I remember I used to do talks and I'd introduce myself and purposely I would say like, I'm Terry and I'm fat. And you could see like people like look at each other across the room like, what? Like, should we say something? Or like people want to rush in and be like, no, you're not fat. You're beautiful. I'm like, no. Yeah. Right. And I'm like, no, I am fat. I said, I never said I wasn't beautiful. But now that you said you're not fat, you're beautiful, you just told me that you don't think fat bodies are beautiful. And that lets me know more about you, even though the intent was meant to be a positive, affirming response to that.
Right.
It showcases how deep fat phobia goes in that the intent was positive, but the impact was incredibly fat phobic.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. That's the best explanation ever, really.
You're welcome.
So I personally, I have a pretty intense personal interest in changing my own mindset about my body. And that all started the moment that I found out I was giving birth to a girl. So like instantly, I realized at that moment, okay, I have an obligation to be an example for this girl as she grows up and not be just a do as I say, not as I do type of a mom, but be a true example of someone who's going to show her the right way. And since I struggled so much with body image growing up, as well as like honestly just caring way too much about my appearance in general when I was growing up, I wanted to make sure that my daughter never defines who she is by what she looks like. So my question for you is, if somebody's in a position like that where they know they've got stuff to work on and they want to make some changes, but it just feels daunting, like what are the first baby steps someone can do to change this?
I think the first thing is self-awareness is absolutely key. Being aware of the behaviors that you're repeating, even though you maybe don't know you are. And usually they're behaviors that have been passed down from our mothers or fathers or the way other people have treated us. We just are like, oh, as young kids, we're like, oh, I guess that's just how that goes. And then we adopt these belief systems that aren't ours to begin with. And not just about body weight, but just about everything, really.
Everything.
Yeah. And actually, it's interesting because right now, like, I've kind of like got myself through the body image side of things. So I'm like, I was trying to think how I could help somebody. So it's interesting you asked me this question. That's at the beginning because it's hard for me now because I forget what I did at the beginning. So for me right now, it's going through like money mindset, because I struggle with that. So it's like, okay, you have to think like, what is the first thing that you did? So the first thing that I encourage myself to do around money is the same thing I would encourage people to do with body image, is to literally just get curious. Mm-hmm. So when you look in the mirror, like, you know, you're waiting for your shower to heat up or whatever, and you're looking in the mirror and your first thought is like, oh, you know, or you're squishing your skin or like, you know, picking your boobs up a little bit and seeing how they move.
Yeah.
And usually our initial dialogue at that point in our head is negative because we don't know any other way than what we've always done. Mm-hmm. So listening to it first, and instead of, again, being upset that you said these things or thought these things about your body, instead of saying, I wonder why I think that way.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder who taught me to think this way about tummies. I wonder who taught me to think this way about skin or whatever your body image thing is. Because the thing is, it's everything we do is learned behavior. It's all conditioning. And if we can kind of go back and figure out, number one, where it started, then we can have the conversation with ourselves about, yeah, but is it still serving you to have this thought? Like,
right.
Is this helping you be the best person you want to be?
Right.
And then decide simply to choose. And I think that's the part that people forget, is that they do have a choice. Because, you know, you look at somebody else as a photographer, you look at somebody and you're like, oh my God, you're so beautiful. Like, do you know?
Right.
You know,
so
we see it all the time. And we're like, but keep in mind, we are actively choosing to see that as beautiful.
Yeah.
Right? Because trust me, being on the internet, there are a lot of people that choose to not see bodies as beautiful.
Right? Yeah.
So like, but we forget that we have a choice. And so it's the same thing with ourselves. When we look in the mirror and we say, oh, gross, we have a choice to say, you know what? It's not too bad.
Yeah.
You know, and just, and literally just start reshaping it, but you first have to hear it, question it, like, is that helping me become a better body positive person or, you know, body liberated person? Is that, and I always think I'm a type of person that like works outcome backwards.
Mm-hmm.
So like, who do you want to be? And then what steps do you need to take to get to be that person? So so if you're looking to be body liberated, and you asking me this question is a very good step, because you're like, I see somebody that is body liberated. I wonder how they got there.
Mm-hmm.
That is an amazing step to take, because you're now looking for information that contradicts the belief systems that you have maybe created up until this point in your life.
Yeah.
Right? So you're like, okay, I want to learn more about this. How can I learn more about this to see if maybe this route will get me closer to that goal that I want, which is to be a better body image role model for my daughter? Like, what steps would I have to take? So I think that's where that self-awareness piece is. And this goes for everything, not just body image, but just behavior in general. And really like sitting with yourself and saying, okay, number one, is this thought, behavior, action serving me? And if not, I wonder why I do the thing that I do.
Right. Questioning yourself.
Yeah. And coming at it with curiosity instead of judgment and saying like, oh, you shouldn't feel that way because that just shuts it down. Instead of saying, I wonder where that started. Like, that's curious. You know, who taught me that? I wonder.
Exactly.
And like, it's just fun, I think, exploring. I think so. Right. Maybe that's weird, but I don't know. I think.
Not weird to me.
Right? And the more you learn, the more you will learn. And there's always more. I will let people know there's no destination. So that's right. The other thing, I think. Understand that there's no like final destination for body image work. I still wake up and look in the mirror and I'm like, oh my God, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
Because
true.
I've had 30 plus years of negative preconditioning, you know, to hate myself. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to undo that in 5 years. That's like silly for me to expect.
It runs
deep.
So it's
like, yeah, exactly. So it's like, what steps can I do in that moment is to say, hey, why did you think that? You know, or is that helping you today to go out and be confident? No. Okay. Well, then maybe let's change that thought to be neutral. It doesn't even have to be like, I love myself. It literally is like, you're okay.
Right. Exactly. And I feel like too, like just the fixed mindset versus growth mindset.
Yes.
I feel like if you're like, okay, I believe that things can be changed. It's not set in stone. I have some friends where I think that their major block is they don't realize that they can actually work on these things and change it. So they're not trying to.
Oh man, the amount of people I get saying, I wish I was as confident as you, or I wish. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, stop wishing, start taking action.
Exactly.
Like, literally, if you, like, that's why I always tell people, I'm like, you've been following me for X amount of, you know, years. Like, I literally tell every time that I have a thought, like, this is what I'm going through and this is how I overcome it. Like, if you literally listen and pay attention to what I'm saying, then you would have the steps needed to get to this place. But so many people just, this is why dieting is so popular and, like, you know, weight loss fixes are so popular, just like, image focused things that are quick fixes are more sought after than the stuff that takes work.
Mm-hmm.
And I always said, like, body image is one of those things that I think we, like, as humans, number one, I think it's a first world problem. Like, when you are in, you know, in survival mode, like, I remember when my dad was in the hospital dying, I didn't care how my tummy looked.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, because you only have so much mental capacity. So think of how boring our lives must be. if we have time,
It
literally, like, the amount of mental energy we spend, like, just like picking apart our bodies. And I think a big part of that is that a lot of people don't know what their purpose is or their mission in life or things like that. So they're like, you know what? A good purpose is fixing this body. That'll give me something to focus on.
Oh gosh, you're so right.
And the body's tangible, so we can see, quote-unquote, results when we do things, exercise, eat differently, whatever. We can see the results, and usually, depending how we do it, it can be very quickly. Mm-hmm. So that gives us that dopamine rush where we're like, oh, yeah, I'm doing it. Yay, exciting. Mm-hmm. But then when it's not the actual fix that we needed, then we leave feeling, you know, this is why diets only last as long as they do, and you gain weight back, is because there's no change in the belief system about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's just change. It's no change in the mindset. It's all change in the body, and that's not enough.
Right.
So we need to shift. Like, that's where I think, like, a big part of what we can do is help people understand that. Listen, as photographers, we know this. We see clients that are literally like size zero up to size like 28, and every single one of them hates their body. Mm-hmm. How can it be about the body? You know what I mean? Like, how is that possible?
Exactly.
I'm like, yeah. So I'm like, how small do you need to get? Like, come on.
Right.
So it's fascinating to me that we still think that, well, you know what, if I just lose X amount of pounds, then I'll be confident. And it's like, no, you probably won't.
No,
actually,
it won't be.
You might be able to buy more clothes.
Yeah.
and that might give you the illusion of confidence, but it's not actually like confidence that comes from developing your character, like who you are as a person, or pursuing a passion that excites you, you know, or accomplishing something that scared the crap out of you.
Right.
It's not that same level, I don't think. No. It's all these quick fixes, I think, that people are after.
Exactly. I know exactly what you're talking about. And I wonder if, you know, when I was younger, it mattered so much to me, but I had so much damn time on my hands. And now I'm like 44 and it's just all fading away because I don't even have time to think about it at this point. I'm like, I don't have time to care. I mean, other changes do happen as you get older. It's kind of a joke, but it's a little true.
But I think even that, like, ageism is rampant, especially for women, around, like, definitely, oh, you can't age past 30 or else you just disappear from the media in general.
Oh,
what the hell's
yeah.
that about?
Oh, I don't believe in that one bit.
Right? Like, it's so insane to me that we're told, like, first of all, I always tell people, like, your body is a biological organism. Like, let's just go to facts for a minute here. Right. Its whole job is science. It's meant to, like, grow and then break down and die. Like, mm-hmm. like if we're speaking factually. Mm-hmm. So if you put all of that confidence and worth and value into this thing that's destined to change and break down, what do you think's going to happen mm-hmm. with that confidence, worth, and value when inevitably that happens regardless of what you put in your body?
Right.
Right? Like, all of that's going to go away. So, like, bodies change. It does. And just because they're different doesn't mean they're bad. I think
exactly.
that's another thing that we're taught is, like, oh, like, post-baby bodies are, like, a big thing for women. They're like, oh, I don't like this. But it's just different. It's not mm-hmm. bad. It's just different. And, like, that mantra alone will shift mindsets around body image for yeah. sure, I think.
It is true. And I think, you know, when you hit around the 40-year mark as a woman, you go one or the other way. And you either mm-hmm. move towards self-acceptance and getting exactly what you just said right there, which is what road I've chosen, or you can choose the let's fight the aging route,
yeah.
which I didn't choose. And that's where you just start battling it all and trying to look younger and younger. And it's just an endless cycle of sadness, really.
Yeah. And you just end up like, it's just like dieting or anything like that, like crash dieting, where you just end up on this cycle of it's a shame cycle.
Right.
And you're like, oh, I don't look young enough, or this happened, you know, and you're just focusing so much on the things that you don't want to happen that you notice that they happen more. Does
mm-hmm.
that make sense? Like,
yeah, you're fighting the inevitable tide.
Yeah. One of my favorite quotes is like, worrying is like praying for something you didn't want. So like when you're worrying about
yeah.
your wrinkles or your lines or whatever, and you're like, of course, that's all you're going to see because that is what you're thinking about all of the time.
Right.
And I think that's also important for people to understand is like what you are focusing on is exactly what you're going to see. So if I tell myself every day that I'm a disgusting piece of shit, when I look in the mirror, that's exactly what I'm going to see because I have decided it before I've even looked in the mirror.
Yeah.
And this is, I even tell my clients this before they see, well, not that, but before they see their photos, I let them know that I could take the best photos in the world. But if they come in with a mindset that they're going to look like crap in those photos, it does not matter how good of a photo I take.
Right.
Because they have already set themselves up to be disappointed.
Oh, I deal with this all the time.
Mm-hmm. So I set this expectation beforehand so they could be like, yeah, okay. You know, like kind of give them some personal responsibility before they see their photos to say, I think they're beautiful. You wouldn't be seeing them if I didn't, you know, but ultimately how you feel about them is up to you.
Right.
I can't control that as much. Like, but this is where also you have to be like confident in the work you put out. Make sure,
mm-hmm.
you know, they are relatively good to the best of your abilities. In that moment. You know, like don't be delusional, but like, I think there's that piece to it, but also that's why it's important to be confident in your work so that when a client doesn't like them, you can sit with them and give them permission to not like their photos and help them understand maybe why they're struggling to accept the photos of themselves looking a certain way or certain body parts and just get curious with them.
Mm-hmm.
Ask them questions like, oh, like if they're like, oh, I didn't realize my tummy was that big. Oh, and what's wrong with, what, is there something you don't like about big tummies?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just like asking questions, you don't have to have the answers. Just plant the seeds of questions in them and they'll do the rest of the work on their own. And that's the best thing that you can do for your clients.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so now we're going to move on to the part before we dig in more, because we have more, but I like to start the episode with a few questions because I'm obsessed with books and quotes. So tell me the one book that you believe everyone should read and why.
The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho, but you only have to read it at the right time in your life.
True.
It'll only come along when you need it, and when somebody is reading it next to you, that's the sign that you're supposed to read it. Or if you see it in a bookstore and you feel a calling, like that's, you need to read it. Like I've given that book out like 7 times. Like I buy it again and then I'll be like, you need this in your life right now. And it is the book that changed the course of my whole life. For sure. Yeah. Like that is like one of the ones that made me break up with my boyfriend, move provinces. Like, yeah, it, like, I just want to read it again now that I'm talking about it. But I'm an avid reader as well.
I'm going to.
But that one's really good. The other one in regards to body image that I recommend everyone read to get a different perspective than the one we've always been fed is Body Respect by Dr. Linda Bacon, because, and yes, that is their name. but it is, it gives you like actual scientific like backing, which I think is something that's been missing a lot. From like, cause a lot of times people are like, well, it's okay to be body positive. I mean, as long as you're healthy, as if health is like the moral compass we all need to follow.
Right.
But it basically goes through to help people understand like, hey, listen, like body size almost has literally nothing to do with health.
Right.
Like the way somebody looks doesn't really have anything to do with health as much as you think it does.
Huh.
So that one is, it's a shorter read. Like they also wrote Health at Every Size, which is, it's a bigger book, but Body Respect will get you the same kind of good stuff a bit quicker.
Okay.
So that's one that I recommend. And because originally you did say about writing, I am actually in the process of having a book published right now.
I know.
About body image, so that I would say that would be my favorite one I've written.
Okay, awesome. It's really funny that you bring up The Alchemist, because I read that book, oh my gosh, like 15 years ago, I think, and I had it around for years, and I read it at just one of the biggest turning point moments of my entire existence.
Yeah, see? It's magic.
Yeah. And literally, like, my life went from one life to a different life within a few months of reading that. I can't even say, though, that the book caused it, but the timing that you were just talking about, it's, like, mind-blowing. So I feel like I need to read it again.
That's the magic piece, yeah. That's the thing, and I'm like, and I keep trying, like, I'm like, oh, yeah, when I talk about it, I'm like, yeah, I should go read that again, but the timing's not right, so I guess I can't. like, it because I don't, right? Like, if it was, I would. Kind of, I think that's how that is, but yeah, so those would be the ones that I would start with, I think. Another good one, actually, that I just recently read because of all the, like, Black Lives Matter movements, and I know it's under fire a little bit right now, but White Fragility is by Robin DiAngelo.
Oh, I just got that.
Yeah, highly recommend for any white person that wants to learn more about checking your own privilege. Highly recommend. But that, as well as Me and White Supremacy, is also very good.
Okay.
By Leila F. Saad.
Have you heard about Cast?
No. But, oh, yeah, I have heard about it, but I haven't read it.
Isabel Wilkerson. But
okay, I'll add that to the list.
I cut you off when you were talking about the second book. What were you saying?
Oh, no, I was just saying, like, that one's written actually by a black woman. So it's like, where's Robin DiAngelo as a white woman? So,
right.
You know, that's what that book's under fire for. So that's why I'm like, take it or leave it.
Oh.
But they're, you know, I think it's important to garner knowledge from a lot of different perspectives, especially around heavy subjects.
True.
Even differential perspectives, ones that might make you uncomfortable because you don't agree with them.
Right.
But I think it's very important to, this is where critical thinking comes in, when you can read from a variety of perspectives, then it allows you to actually decide what is right and true for yourself.
For yourself.
Whereas if you Whereas if you constantly just read like a funnel of stuff, it's kind of how social media works.
Yeah.
if you're constantly reading the same stuff, then your belief system is going to be very narrow-minded. So I think it's important to kind of open your mind to all sides of the story.
Me too. Me too. And I have come to find this year that I know a lot less than I thought I did.
Same. So. But I think there's like it's humbling for sure. But I also think that's like, okay, but now we've got work to do. Like that personal responsibility piece gets to kick in. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, like I've been talking about reading this book forever and I just didn't do it. Like, so what the hell are you waiting for? Kind right. of thing. Like it was a kick in the, this year has been a kick in the ass for everyone. But
yeah. Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. So, big time. Yeah. So those ones are really good. And then a body image one, the body is not an apology. Sonia Renee Taylor is the author.
I follow her on Instagram. I love her.
Yeah. So her book is very good as well because it's like body image, but also ties into the intersection of race.
Yeah.
So I think, and I think sexuality as well, if I'm not mistaken. But all just right. overall, it's just a good book. Oh. Yeah, we read it in my book club the other, like a few weeks ago.
Cool. Okay. Well, I got a lot to...
Lots of reading.
Yeah. Thank you. And what is your favorite quote?
Well, my dad used to say power perceived is power achieved ever since I was little. So I think that is a good one. And then from my mom is you always have two choices. And that one has stuck. That one is like basically everything is about critical thinking. Mm-hmm. So I was very lucky to have parents like that. But those are the ones that probably like stick by me the most.
I like that.
And the ones I remember the most because they're short and sweet.
Yeah.
But also it's like in the moment you can kind of ask yourself, you know what, listen, like the two choices one means you're never out of solutions.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? At every turn you have options.
Mm-hmm.
And then you giving up is an option. Like choosing not to choose is an option.
Right.
And then, so that's where the personal responsibility comes in. And then power perceived is power achieved was a big one for me because like my dad said that to me the first day of like high school,
mm-hmm.
like he's like, if you walk it, the first thing you want to do when you walk in that high school is walk it with your head held high and your shoulders back. So that way people think you're more powerful, even if you're not feeling it.
Mm.
And so like it instilled that confidence in me to be like, you know what, as long as you can fake confidence, you will make confidence eventually.
Right.
And to this day I'm that person that like they're like, oh, we need a volunteer, and then like before I know it my hand is up and I'm looking up, I'm like, what are you doing, you know? but it's like, yeah, just do it, you won't regret it kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that has helped me a lot, especially when it comes to, you know, talking about uncomfortable things or being vulnerable is the other thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so many things. I think I can't remember the quotes specifically, but there was something in a Daniel Laporte book I read,
mm-hmm.
and it was about how to be a, and I don't even think this was an important part of the book, which is why it was funny that that was what I like took away from the book.
Mm-hmm.
But the quote was essentially something along the lines of, I went to visit this person and they were like kind of witchy and they only answered when I asked questions, like how teachers do. Like real teachers do. And that made me realize, because I had been, I wanted to be a teacher and like influencing people in the body image front and all this stuff. But I was coming from a place of preaching, not mm-hmm. teaching.
Mm.
And so that kind of hit me. And I was like, yeah, why am I shaming people for where they're at
mm-hmm.
instead of just like living as a role model? And then when they have questions, I can then answer them.
Right.
Like let them come to me instead of me like, you should do this, you should do that. It made me know better than the people right. that were like, you need to lose weight. You know? Like, yeah. I literally, but I think there's this purgatory people go through when they leave behind old belief systems and they can see how good it's going to be.
Uh-huh.
Where this is like this middle ground of where you still want to be friends with those people that are still like kind of there.
Yeah.
But you also know there's betterness over here. So you're like, in this middle ground where it's like, oh, I'll just shame you so you'll come with me, but that never works.
Oh, that's true. Wow. So I think that we touched on this a little bit before, but before you became known as Tough Love Terry and created this empowerment empire that you have now, you did actually have a different story. And I think it's important for people to know that you started somewhere else and you've worked your way to this point of being such an empowered woman who is now leading others. So can you tell us more about that turning point in your life?
Yeah, so it's a very long story, but I'll try to make it as brief as possible.
Okay.
So I was always the person that, like, jumped around like I never had. I was called Terry 2 years before Tough Love Terry, just an FYI. Okay. Because 2 years was like my limit for anything. Jobs, boyfriends, hobbies. Because the first year's like your honeymoon phase. And then you're like, the second year, you're like, can I do this forever? And then it's like, no. So then you just get rid of them.
Yeah.
So I was always kind of flighty, and I lived in Korea for a while, and that's where I first got into photography, because there was nobody there to take photos of me. So I was like, I'm going to take pictures of myself. I'd always been interested in photography as a kid, but growing up on a farm in a small town, like, that's not a job, was basically the recording in my head.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to teach English in Korea and picked up a camera there again and started taking photos and, like, really falling in love with it. And then when I moved, while I was in Korea, I lost 100 pounds. Of weight, and that I was at the lowest. Prior to that, I was always a big kid. I think that's important to know. And then I'd lost this weight just because of, like, totally different lifestyle in Korea.
Oh, right.
Like, different food, walking everywhere. And then I got into martial arts and then bodybuilding, and it just kind of, you know, took on a life of its own.
Mm-hmm.
But I never had worse body image than when I had lost that weight.
I hear that a lot.
I hated myself more at 150 pounds than I did at 270.
Mm-hmm.
Because small enough was never small enough, and so much so that I started taking diet pills, and I started, you know, I was starving myself essentially. And then I moved back to Canada and was kind of a judgy bitch, not gonna lie. You know, looking at other people like, oh, if you could lose weight if you wanted to, like, just mean, because that's what happens, that's how diet culture works.
Mm-hmm.
But then my dad got sick, and unfortunately, from the time he got diagnosed with pancreatic cancer to when he passed away, it was 3 months.
Oh, wow.
In hindsight, it actually was good. I know that sounds weird, but, like, we had time to say goodbye, but also it wasn't drawn out, you know, that he was in pain for years and years on end. So
I know exactly what you mean. I lost my dad to cancer, and it was a very long process, so I understand.
Yeah, so, like, the 3 months, like, well, obviously, I wish he was still here. It was a not kind of ideal scenario. But I just remember, like, the thing with pancreatic cancer is that, like, your body literally starves itself. Like, you can't digest your food.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what the fuck am I? Oh, sorry, can I swear on here?
Sure.
I was like, what the hell am I doing? Like, I'm purposefully starving myself to look a certain way. And all my dad wants to do is, like, drink a Coke slushy, you know, like, and enjoy, like, eating a food and, like, letting his body do its job.
Yeah.
And that was, like, such a wake-up call for me. And I just remember, like, that shifted everything. Like, that was when I was like, Katie, enough's enough. What the hell are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And then fast forward, I was still doing photography part-time while I was working other jobs. And I was actually working for a weight loss company.
Oh.
Ironically enough. Yeah. But interest, like, yeah, oh, God, that was a journey. but I was very good in the, because I was, like, a coach for people. And so I was doing the same thing I do now.
But,
like,
opposite.
Like, you can do it. Yeah. I was like, you can do it. You're amazing. You know? but just trying to achieve terrible goals, basically.
Right.
But I did learn a lot about running a business, actually, from that career, I would say. But I also lost myself a little bit in there. Again, it's like all indoctrination and diet, like that. When you're fed that so much about, like, these bodies are bad. And when they hired me, actually, they were like, oh, we like you because you're not, like, you're not small. Because even though I had lost weight, I was still, like, 180 pounds at that point. But, like,
mm-hmm.
muscular and big. I'm just broad. I'm a farm kid. So, but then once I got into the company, they were like, oh, you're not losing weight. And I was like, well, no, like, why would I? Like, you said I didn't have to. And it really started to wear at me a little bit. And then finally I had enough of that and I left that job and then moved on to something else. But this whole time I was doing photography on the side, doing wedding photography, doing portraits, families, like, you name it. I did it, except for newborns. I hated those. But I tried, but they were terrible.
Me too.
Yeah, it was like maybe two sessions. I was like, why do you people keep hiring me for this? I'm terrible at this. And then when I moved, after I read The Alchemist, that's when I broke up with my boyfriend at the time and then moved to the city I am in now. I worked The company that transferred me, I worked for about 3 months, and I was like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm just going to try and make this work on my own. And so I was still doing weddings and stuff like that. And then 2014 rolled around, and I was pretty much like, I was really enveloped in body positivity movement at that time, because that's when it became very popular on social media. Mm-hmm. And so I was seeing bodies like mine, and I was like, oh my God, this is a thing that we can do, and it's amazing. And then I did this project. So, well, first of all, I went and I had a photo shoot done of myself. Mm-hmm. And all I got back were headshots.
Oh.
And I was like, cool. But I
from the photographer? Like somebody took them?
From the photographer. They were meant to be like boudoir shots. Oh. But all I got back were like head literally my head. Like, oh my gosh. Maybe my chest a little bit. But like, not very many full body shots for sure. Right. And a lot of like covering of the tummy and I didn't really have a problem with my tum at that time. Mm-hmm. I was like, until I didn't see it in a photograph.
Right.
And I'm like, what the hell? And usually what happens when I get mad at something, that's when I'm usually, and I don't just get mad and like leave it there. I'm like, you know what? And then I started to look at the photography industry as a whole, and I was not seeing fat bodies anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anywhere. Weddings, portraits, family sessions even. Like, they would hide mom behind, like, the kids or a tree or something.
Yeah.
I'm like, gasp, we can't see her body. No, that would be too terrible. Like, and so I did a project where I wanted to showcase that, listen, like, all bodies are different and all of them are fine. So I did this. Literally, in two cities, I ran this, one at my in-laws' garage and one here in my city. And it was like a 5-minute session. Come in, take your clothes off if you want to. You can wear as much or as little as you want. I'm going to take your pictures. There's going to be no Photoshop, nothing. Literally 5 minutes and do that. And I ended up photographing about 75 women, between the two cities, which was awesome. And what came out of that, though, was the amount of emails and messages I got saying how much confidence they had just from doing the act. They hadn't even seen the photo yet, you know, or their final product. They hadn't seen the project.
Mm-hmm.
They just, the act of doing that for themselves and the stories, oh man, the stories of these women that came in, why they wanted to participate in the project. I was just like, this is it. Like, this is where I need to go. And I basically rebuilt a website in 24 hours. And I was like, this is it. I'm no longer doing weddings. Thank you. Good day.
You found your calling.
Yeah. Yeah, I just like leaned into it. And I've always been very gut driven that way. Like, it's like, this is where self-awareness is very important. And I guess part of mine is probably genetics, because I've always been this way since I was a kid.
Yeah.
But just like, this feels right. Go here. Mm-hmm. And then I do. Like, I trust that instinct.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, and then that just, like, basically is what launched my boudoir photography. I was like, I don't really know what this is, but let's give it a go. And then within the first year I spent almost every day photographing as many bodies as I could, just to have representation. So I could see how different bodies photograph. So I could, you know, prove to myself that I was right, that every body is worthy of being documented, because I wasn't seeing it anywhere else. So I'm going to do it myself. And right. that you could literally change a person's life with a photo shoot, or at least change the way they see themselves or think of themselves, if not forever, at least for, you know, a few months or weeks, to give them a bit of a break from the normal soundtrack in their head. And yeah. And then from there, that first year, I learned a lot of things that I didn't like about the boudoir industry. So I just was like, nope, not doing that. and in my city, it was pretty good, because I came up, there was like one other boudoir photographer in my city for the most part, like doing it full time here. So I came in at a really good time in my city too. And I just came in with this message of boudoir 2.0. Which was like, it's not for your partner, it is for you. Like, really hammering home, like, which I obviously, you still get people in there like, oh, it's for, you know, a gift for the husband. I'm like, yeah, that's great. But like, it's about you. So, you know, I'm very quick to like turn it around on them. And then I started hosting empowerment events and photo shoots, and, you know, where there was multiple women coming together to just talk and share their stories, which sounds weird now because we can't obviously meet in a room, but like, but like these really cool empowerment projects where it's like, look, it, we all have this in common. We all hate this part of ourselves. Like, what does that mean? And I use my clients as a way to collect data. about body image.
Yeah.
And this is how I created a kind of a workshop retreat that I host called Body Image Bootcamp. Was by listening to what women were telling me, and then I started researching more about the science behind body image and psychology and blah 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 blah.
Right.
And then that kind of brings me to now. So told you it was a very long story.
No, I love it though.
But I think like every little piece may, obviously everything makes a difference with who you become. So I think every element of that journey was necessary to get me to where I am.
Right. And it's also just, I think, you know, people look at someone like you and you're empowering other people. You're this women empowerment person. And they think, oh, she must just have always been like this and never gone through this stuff. So I think it's also, you know, like, yeah, you can have been through all of those things and felt those ways and still end up doing what you're getting.
Yeah, I think that's something I hear a lot from photographers, like boudoir photographers, is this like imposter syndrome piece that happens, that they're like, well, I don't love myself. How can I tell other people to? I'm like, you just have to show up every day and try to love yourself. Like, as long as you are actively putting in the effort to be better about yourself and doing the things you're telling your clients to do for yourself, then you're not a hypocrite at all. Just because you're not, like, you know, maybe walking around fully naked somewhere with other people doesn't mean that you can't do that. But make sure that you as well have gone for a photo shoot with a photographer. Like, make sure that you have done these acts that you are expecting your clients to do. And just honestly, just be honest about your experience in doing that. Tell people when you're shit scared of trying something because of your body. Like, I think that was my biggest thing that I did right from the very get-go. Was be completely transparent from start to now about, like, here's where I'm struggling, like, this is something, and but here's what I learned about it, so maybe it will help you too, and like, maybe we can learn this together, you know, here's a thought that I had, maybe this is something you're struggling with as well. Like, there's something beautiful about being able, and that Brene Brown talks about this all the time, right? Shame only exists in silence. So my biggest advice to photographers all the time is, like, whatever you think people are going to dislike you for, that's the very thing you should be talking about. Like, whatever you think your kryptonite is, that is probably actually your superpower.
Oh, wow. Ooh, I like that. That is true.
Yeah, it is. Oh, and every time, because, like, every boudoir photographer wants to empower women. But, like, you know, but, like, why? Why? Like, this is not a genre that you get into, like, lightly, I don't think, you know? Like, I think it's something that it's like, I want to heal myself, but it's easier to heal other people. But why do you want to heal yourself? What about yourself? Is it that you've been sexually repressed and you find boudoir a way that you can gain that power back? Is it that maybe you were an abuse victim and, you know, you felt that your body was taken from you, and so you've seen how boudoir can give back to other abuse victims? Like, these are things that you can talk about. You don't have to give all the details, but, like, own your story. That is the thing that will help you relate to people. But I think so many people are afraid that that is the very thing that will make them a pariah or whatever, and that's not the case at all. That is the very thing that they will love you for.
It's true, true. Wow. I love the way you said that. That hits home. And not only, though, I mean, I could literally talk to you for like 3 hours about all of this because I'm so fascinated by all of it. But along with the whole body image thing, you also, you teach others how to stay creative and ways to pivot in life. Like, it's endless, really. Yes.
Yeah, I think that's like one of the fun side. Well, I mean, body image is fun too, don't get me wrong, but like, I think the fun side of, but again, that's mindset, you know, like it all comes down to
it's
mindset.
All wrapped
100%, because it's that you have a choice, right? I always think, like, again, that is like my guiding star or whatever, is that, like, when the pandemic hit and, like, all of a sudden none of us could use our cameras, and I did have a 24-hour period where I literally just painted shit because I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, how do you relax, you know, when you've been going? I was like, I don't know what to do. So I did, like, maybe have a little bit of a breakdown there, but in that time frame where I let my brain relax because I was painting or whatever, is when I was like, webcam sessions, like, they always say the best camera is the one you have with you. So what do we have? We have webcams. Mm-hmm. Let's try it out. And I think that's the key, is that I have an idea and I execute it. And I always tell, mm-hmm. like, of course, the ones that most people see are the ones that work out. But people also mm-hmm. need to understand there's like 95% of ideas that I still execute. They just fail and you never hear about them again. But I think that's one of my superpowers, is like, just like, I don't know, this could be good. Let's see where this takes us. Because I always think strategically, like, you know what, even if it doesn't work out this time, there's got to be something I'll learn from it that will help me go yeah. along. And that's where that's creativity at its finest, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also problem solving.
And sometimes it's the process of trying to do something that you really needed all along, and not even what you were trying to make the result.
Yeah, it was funny because even with the webcam sessions, at first I was like, this is new and exciting because I'd never really done anything like that before. So I was excited. And then when I made it into a course, I got more enjoyment out of the course than doing the actual webcam session. Because I was like, now I got to see other people taking what was it like a, I call it my brain noodles, mm-hmm. and like making it into their own masterpiece. And that to me is like the coolest thing. Like that, I just absolutely love that. Like when I can come up with a concept and I execute it once, and that's fun and great, but then I'm already thinking about the next idea that I can see other mm-hmm. people take these like little noodles and like make their own magic with them. That is like so exciting for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. I totally get it. I've taken a little bit of a break from mentoring other photographers just during this whole thing because my daughter's doing homeschool and all of that, but I just get so much fulfillment from working with other people. You know, it's like, I don't know. I think I like it more than the actual photography.
Well, that's what, like, yeah. And that is something that I'm working towards, is like I always said, photography is just a medium. It's not the mission, right? Like, mm-hmm. like your medium can change, but your mission probably will never change. So, and I asked that question to myself, like one day, I sometimes have morbid thoughts. But,
me too.
I was driving with my mom and I'm like, oh my God, like all I do is photography like 24/7. What would I do if I went blind all of a sudden? Like, what would mm-hmm. I do? And she's like,
yeah.
She's like,
yeah.
What would you do? Which obviously is the best answer a teacher could ask. And I was like, I would probably still write and, you know, talk and speak. And I was like, the medium is not nearly yeah. as important as the message. So that was the other thing, right. Like when the pandemic hit, I'm like, okay, I can't use my usual medium. What are other mediums that we could use? So I sent out newsletters full of like kittens and puppies to empower people. I like I sent postcards in the mail, because who doesn't love a little like, you know, mail-y thing. I did a selfie 101 tutorial on Instagram for people so they could take their own sexy selfies because they couldn't come in for their photo shoots. Like, mm-hmm. it's that, like, what is the mission and how can I do it differently once, if my tool goes away, what can I do differently?
Yeah, that's so true. And that's kind of what this podcast is for me. It's just a different medium yeah. for, like, reaching out to people.
I love that.
It's been, like, the scariest leap I have ever taken. And that is saying a lot, because I've done a lot of scary things in my life. But, ooh boy, it's been a ride.
But that's good, though, to do things that scare you.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And, you know, if I'm not challenging myself in that way, I just don't really feel completely alive, you know?
I also said, like, now, this is the year, like, everything's chaotic anyways. You might as well throw caution in the wind and, like, fuck shit up even more. Like, if that was, like, a huge thing for me in transitioning my business, like, really transitioning and making a decision, like, hey, I want to move my business towards education for photographers. Like, just say it already. Uh-huh. I've been thinking about it for, like, a year and a half. But I was like, you're never uh-huh. going to get an opportunity like this again. Stop wasting it. Like, just do it. And then I was like, okay, yeah, that's my gut saying it, go. And then see what happens.
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah. So now it's time for our 5 quick fire questions. And it's just like a fun little round of questions before we wrap it up. The first one is, what's something most people don't know about you?
That I actually don't like people. I know that sounds silly. Well, I think
no, it doesn't sound silly.
Questions you have. Well, it's just like I'm very much an introvert. Like, I stay at home with my husband all the time. I never go out. I work and I come home and that's it. Like, and hang out with my like immediate uh-huh. family.
So number 2 is answered right there. You're an introvert.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, I like being on, but also mm-hmm. I like to protect my energy a lot. And so like, and I know just the way I say it, though, is people are like, what?
No, I get like, it.
I like people. It's just like very small bursts of a lot of people.
Right. And even like after something like this, where you just gave and gave and gave, you're probably going to have to just go into a cave for like a day and get your energy back. Right.
Yeah. I'll be like, I'm editing after this. So I'll just be like, doo-doo-doo. Yeah. You get it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I get it. I'm exactly the same. and so we'll skip number two, because that was, are you an introvert, extrovert, or both?
I'm both. Yeah. Like when I love to like give to people all the time. Like I love to speak and I love to do workshops. Like that's the one hard thing that this has done is like I had to reschedule a bunch of my in-person workshops.
Me too.
That's so hard. So I've been doing like Facebook lives every day in my photography group. I'm like the poor people in there. I'm like, I don't know. I just want to talk.
I love it. I watched one of your YouTubes the other day, and while you were waiting for everybody to join on, I was laughing so hard. Like, you're just so funny, and like, I don't know. You're awesome. It was great. Just sitting there waiting for people to join, and I was laughing out loud. But so number three is, do you know your Enneagram number?
I want to say 7. That seems to like stand out in a picture to me. Oh,
yeah, you seem like a 7.
I don't remember what it means. I'm very much a Clifton Strengths kind of gal. I don't know if you've heard of that assessment, but I highly recommend.
Oh, I'll check it out. A 7 is like a free spirit.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah, that's you.
I just remember seeing the 7 and there was like a little person next to it, I think. in the test that I took.
Okay. I feel like you have some 4 in you too, but I don't know. Number 4 is, if you could sit down and have dinner with 3 people you've never met, alive or not, who would it be and what would you talk about?
Oh, I'd love to sit down with Lizzo. Absolutely. Because she's just incredible. So she'd be amazing. Let me see. Who else? 3 people? Shit. You know what? Maybe I would like to sit down with like Annie Leibovitz or like...
Ooh, yeah.
You know, like, though I don't... Oh, no. Ellen von Unworth. Not Annie Leibovitz. No, Ellen von Unworth. Okay. If you don't know who she is, check out her photography. Mm-hmm. I don't even know why I wouldn't say her first. But yes, Ellen von Unworth is amazing.
I know of her, but I don't know, like, the details.
Oh, go check out her work. Oh, she's just like, she was a model and then she became a photographer and she's still doing photography. She's like in her 60s and she's like super... She does really... technically incorrect photos, and I just freaking love it.
Okay, cool.
Oh, and I would love to sit down with Gary Vaynerchuk. Oh my God, I would love to talk to that man. I do you know who he is?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. So every morning when I go, this is how I go for my walks. I call it my meeting with Gary, and I just listen to his podcast, and then I just like walk for about, because I wasn't exercising or moving my body at all for a lot of reasons, like diet culture, blah. right. And then work, you know, it's just easier not to. So I was like, no. Take control. But that was the way that I did it, was like, this way you can't disappoint Gary, so like, go. But like, I think he's like the male version of me, and I feel that we would like ping, ping, ping in a conversation with each other, and I've never met him in real life yet, but it will happen one day.
I'm sure it will. Okay, I'm gonna look up his podcast. I listen to podcasts like every day, and I totally lost track of him, so I'll look it up again. And our last one is my favorite one. What does living a life of curiosity mean to you?
Oh, well, good, because we talked about that. Living a life of curiosity is literally like that self-reflection and no judgment, and literally just like trying stuff and seeing where it takes you, and not being held to the outcome, but rather to the process. Yeah. Like really just like enjoying the process of everything that you do. And regardless of what the outcome is, saying, you know what? You know, it is what it is, but like, shit, did I have fun? I always said, like, the stuff that I failed at is like probably the most fun I've ever had. You know, executing something, and then you all just kind of, if you're doing it with other people, you like had a great time like learning with somebody else. Yeah. And I just did a blog post on this recently where I like purposefully will take up like hobbies or activities that I'm going to be bad at because I needed to teach myself not to be held to the outcome.
Oh.
Because I very much was an achiever, very goal-oriented.
Yeah.
And that became very unfulfilling for me very quickly. Well, not very quickly, but, like, it just... It became, once I did it, I was like, this is unfulfilling. Like, what's the point?
Yeah.
And so I took up candle making. Terrible. resin pouring. You have to be very specific. I don't have patience for that shit. So, like, nothing ever works out, and it's great.
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, so to wrap this up, I know we already talked about your book. Are you able to say the title, or are you waiting, or?
Yeah, it's called The Geode Theory, Chipping Away at Body Image. And it's essentially the idea that over time that we've become these lustrous gray rocks on the outside, but deep within we do have this glittery bit that's just been kind of, like, growing under all the pressure and stuff that we've been, that we've put ourselves in. Mm-hmm. Basically, but we have to chip away at the external bits, at the exterior, to basically get to the heart of it. And so this particular book is focusing on body image, but the methodology is based on, like, positive psychology practices. Fixed and growth mindset is in there. So when you said that, I was excited.
Oh, nice.
But, like, yeah, because I went through this whole psychology program and stuff like that. So it's based on, like, a model like that. So it's to help people work through their body image issues.
Actually, my degree is in psychology. I obviously
amazing
didn't end up going down that road and becoming a therapist, but that's what I got my degree in.
Or did you?
Well,
with photography, see? And your podcast.
Yeah.
Like, literally, that's what I'm shifting to, is more the psychology side of things. It's so much fun.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by it.
Yeah, and you can, and it's always, like, changing and learning, and oh, it's just so good.
Yeah.
I love psychology and behavior.
Me too.
It's so good.
I've always been obsessed with it. But you're currently building a university.
Yes. Sorry, that was very excitable. So I'm building a boudoir university, but the idea of it is to have the 101 courses are going to be ethics courses that people need to take. Not need to, they can't fit, obviously. Okay. Because there's no standardization as far as ethics in the boudoir industry, considering it's such a vulnerable genre.
Right.
We have seen time and time again a lot of unfortunate incidents where particularly women are either not treated appropriately by their photographer, either in terms of body image, race, sexual misconduct, even, like, really bad things, sexual assault. Like, there's just a lot of things that go wrong, and nothing's ever been put in place. And I believe a big chunk of that is, like, for me, for sure, understanding the body image side of things, is that people just don't know.
Mm.
Like, they don't know. They talk about other people's bodies how they talk about their own.
Yeah.
But that's a disservice, right?
Yep.
We see it in the photography groups all the time. And then I have other educators working on the other stuff. So I have somebody working on, like, what to take into consideration to make your studio more inclusive for people with disabilities.
Mm.
So you would take the course, like, take these foundational courses on anti-racism, working with people with disabilities, body image, like all these ethics ones. And you would get a badge for your site for each course that basically says, like, hey, I'm certified now as this in this particular thing, or it's like food handler certificate for boudoir photographers, essentially. But I think it'll go a long way with people being able to set themselves apart from other photographers that maybe aren't as educated on these topics because it's such a vulnerable genre. Like, people just, they do get, like, there are a lot of people that see it as a quick money grab, but, like, then they ruin people's body image. And, like, the amount of or effect that one negative body image experience with a photographer can have is literally the reason why so many women come in and say, oh, I look like shit in photos. You know, like, it's literally they had one experience where somebody did not listen or put their own body image on their client or whatever, and they just didn't consider. So these courses are designed to help people take into consideration things that our blind spots, basically, to fill in those gaps.
That's really cool. I feel like it actually translates to any type of photography, not just boudoir, though, you know?
Well, that's the thing. So that's what everyone's telling me. And I'm like, damn it, I bought the domain already. But I'll now look for the other domain. So I may just end up making it like a photography one in general, because I just think because it's a creative industry, there are no standards, but I think it would go a long way. It's the same thing when people put Black Lives Matter on their website you know, that we're pro LGBTQ+, or, you know, like all of these things, like we shouldn't have to say them, but it helps eliminate the anxiety that marginalized people feel when it comes to hiring a photographer, to know that their photographer has taken the initiative to take courses to not only better themselves for their business, but also to better themselves for their community. And I think that is like one of the most powerful things that we can do for humanity, not just, you know, not just our businesses.
Exactly. I wholeheartedly agree. And now, where can we find you?
Oh, man. Okay. So if you're on Instagram, it's instagram.com/Terry Hofford with one R and H-O-F-F-O-R-D, because lots of people put an A instead of an O at the end. So that's it. So usually I'll say Terry Hofford and then maybe look at it. And then on Facebook, I believe it's Terry Hofford Studios. It's just Terry Hofford. You can find like my personal page is Terry Hofford, but my business page is Terry Hofford as well, and it's got my logo, so you'll know the difference.
Okay.
And then I do have an education group for photographers. It is geared more towards boudoir, but lately I've been having an influx of people from all genres, because it's everybody's education. So because we talk about the same stuff that the university will cover, so anybody's welcome to come in as long as they're a photographer and willing to not be a dick and understand that there are things that I will and will not tolerate. But that's all in the description. So that's under everybody's education.
Okay. Awesome.
And then website is just terryhofford.com, though I have like 1,000 different domains to get you there, but try that one first.
And it's T-E-R-I.
Yeah.
Okay.
H-O-F-F-O-R-D. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much for talking with me today, Terry. I loved it.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And sorry if it was a bit long. I just get talking and you just got to shut me up.
No, I love it. I loved every second.
Perfect. Thank you.
Of course.
Wow. Isn't she something? I mean, I can't even tell you. I feel like it would be really difficult to find too many people that don't have something to learn from Terry. When it comes to the topic of self-love, I feel like there's just really no end as to what's available out there to learn and to know and ways to grow. And I am always looking for more. In my opinion, we've got to start them early. We've got to start it young. It is something that we've got to impress upon our little ones as young as we possibly can. In my house, there is very little attention given to the physical realm. Most of it is what we can do on the inside, who we are, and what we're made of.
So, Lane, what do we do every morning to start the day off right?
Morning mantra.
And what do you say for your morning mantra?
I am thankful, I am sweet, I am kind, I am creative, I am brave, I am funny, I am smart, I am powerful. I'll have an awesome, 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 awesome day.
Woohoo! Yep. And then we also, you got tired of saying the same thing every day, so we made up a new one. And this is it. Do you remember this one right here?
No.
I love myself.
I love myself.
I believe in myself.
I believe in myself.
I can achieve anything with hard work.
I can achieve anything with hard work.
I am a force.
I am a force.
I am loved and I love others.
I am loved and I love others.
I am confident and strong.
I am confident and strong.
If I fall, I will get back up.
If I fall, I will get back up.
And how does it make you feel when you start your day with that?
Well, sometimes I feel the same, but now I feel good that I just got a new one.
Oh, you like the new one because you got bored of doing the same one.
Yeah.
But does it make you feel confident and strong going into your day?
It just makes me feel good.
Yeah. It's just like a positive way to start your day.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you remember the name of Mommy's podcast?
Curating the Curious.
Good job. Okay. On the count of three, we're going to say what we always say. One, two, three.
Stay curious.
Stay curious, my friends.
All very creative and curious, and I hope you do that too, what we did
in the morning. Yep.
Do the mantra every morning and make you feel very good.
Oh, and also leave a review, rate and review and subscribe, please, on Apple Podcasts. You can leave a review and I've been reading them and they make my day.
Bye-bye.